I am live in Southern California, and I feel awesome. A tremendous Friday to you. Let's have a good day. Let's have a good show. Let's get it. Let's have some fun. Welcome to the jungle, live in the Quicken Loan Studios. Apply simply, understand fully, and mortgage confidently. Quicken Loans. I am Jim Rome. Full slate. Good show for you. We are front-loading today. So, three interviews, but they're all in the first hour and a half of the program. Keep that in mind. If you want to jump in, though, go ahead and do it right now, quickly. That phone number is good in the U.S. It's good in Canada, wherever you can hear us, 1-800-636-8686. If you're watching on TV, if you're listening on terrestrial, if you're checking us out in space, wherever you are, jump in, get yourself in the program. Call me up, follow me on Twitter at Jim Rome, email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Every single day, I start this off the same way. Those are the three best ways to get through. Some of you use all three. Some of you call, some of you tweet, some of you email. The very best contributors are like three sports stars. They can do it. You know, some only like to call because they like the sound of their voice. Some only like to tweet. Some only will go old school in email. But I know some of you like to cross-train. Or in terms of the interviews, the way it sets up, Matt Norlander, CBS sports writer, joins me in about 15 minutes. Travis Kelce, Chiefs tight end, top of hour number two. Next hour, Arizona Cardinals offensive lineman Justin Pugh. The week that was in the third hour. I've got an ATP in there too. Lots to get to. Awesome night in the Sweet 16. And that's where I want to start. Once again, if you want to call the program, I would bust open the open for you, especially since we have three interviews in the first half of the program. This breaking news, this just in. It is Sister Jean's world, and the rest of us are only living in it. If you didn't know that before last night, you do now. Because as good as Porter Moser is, Clayton Custer, and the rest of the Loyola Ramblers, as good as they all are, we know who is truly calling the shots there. It's the 98-year-old nun turned international superstar. How else do you explain Loyola going to the Elite Eight after beating Nevada 69-68? How else do you explain Andre Jackson hitting a go-ahead three with less than 3 minutes left after he had not hit one in a month? How else do you explain Marcus Towns scoring 15 in the first two games and then scoring 18 last night, including that absolute dagger three with just over 6 seconds to go, to go up four? How else do you explain the fact that the Loyola of Chicago Ramblers are one win away from the final freaking four? Sister Jean, that's how. Well, Sister Jean and the fact that these Ramblers are brass as hell. There is no other way to put it. Three tournament wins by a total of 4 points. They were down 12 in the first half last night. Then they go on a run and they go up 12 in the second half, only to see Nevada do what Nevada had done to Texas and Cincinnati before them. The Wolfpack are relentless. They keep coming at you. They wear you down. I've said it time and time again. They're as much a reflection of their head coach as any team I know. Man, so much pride, so much heart, and so much fire. And it was all on display last night as they were able to grind their way back into that game. But, and I can't believe I would say this, but nobody ever thought this was coming. But Loyola is not Texas. Loyola is not Cincinnati. The Ramblers were rocked, but they did not collapse. They manned up. They hit huge shots when they needed them most. And many of those huge shots came after Sister Jean came down from the stands and went over near the bench with only 3 minutes to go in the game. And as the legend of Sister Jean goes, we start getting Sister Jean facts. You know, that sound like ripoffs of Chuck Norris facts. Like this one from Arizona Cardinals media relations legend, Mark Dalton. Loyola's Sister Jean was born on August 21st, 1919. The NFL was formed on August 20th, 1920. Sister Jean is older than the NFL and maybe more popular. Another fact, according to Pat Forty, she has two athletic department staffers that are helping her with all of her media requests. Sister Jean has an entourage. You gotta love that. But she did admit last night. Last night was tough on her. Quote, it was getting pretty bad. I thought they might have to resort to my nitro. But I didn't have to do that. End quote. Good thing, too. because if Sister Jean goes Nitro, Nevada never has a chance. And as soon as that horn sounded, Loyola knew that they were going to be facing Wildcats. Wildcats of some kind in the Elite Eight. But I don't think that anybody really thought they'd be facing the Kansas State kind. But they are, because K-State, transition, K-State turned in a performance every bit as brass as Loyola's. This group, regarded as maybe the worst of the remaining 16, going up against Kentucky in Catlanta. And they didn't show an ounce of fear or grip. They jump out to an early lead. Kentucky goes on a run. They go on a run of their own, and they just keep trading runs. But Bruce Weber's crew never let Kentucky get comfortable or get any kind of control. Remember, before that tournament, John Calipari was pointing out how nasty the South region was. Then when the top four teams were cleaned out and everybody said Kentucky would roll to the Final Four, he told his guys, do not drink the poison. I'm not going to say they drank the poison last night because they ran into a beast in K-State, but that doesn't mean that that loss is not going to sting for a long, long time, that it's not going to stay with the BBN for a long, long time, because Kentucky had their chances, especially from the foul line where they missed 14 attempts in a three-point game. That's going to kill you. PJ Washington, in particular, had a nightmare from the foul line. He missed 12 throws. It's a brutal night for a guy who had been a much better free throw shooter during the season. But I can't put that on him. I can't bash him because there's no way they're even in that game without his 18 and 15. No, last night was much more about K-State doing to Kentucky what they did to them. It was more about Kansas State than it was Kentucky, because going into this tournament, nobody knew that much about K-State. But you do now. Now you know how tough they are defensively. Now you know how relentless they are offensively. And now you know they don't back down. And K-State is doing all of this without their best player. They're in the Elite Eight without Dean Wade, who has barely taken off his warm-ups. Like, no problem. Just as it was no problem when three of their guys fouled out last night. They just keep doing what they do. So what we have here is an Elite Eight between a couple of teams that really know who they are and what they're about. And one of them is 40 minutes away from the Final Four. An 11 and a 9 in the Elite Eight? To quote one Bartholomew Edward Scott, can't wait.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
Can't wait.
So let's get into that. Loyola of Chicago and Nevada, great game. Kentucky, K-State, great game. Your thoughts on that and the other action last night. And, of course, a look ahead to this weekend's action. Dear Rome, in honor of the Wildcats blowing the perfect chance at the Final Four, they join the Fail Clowns with the name Ken Sucky. Sign that caller.
Who's worse than the Giants? How about the Fail Clowns?
That's some fire, Brad and Lafayette. That is some amazing fire. Signed Chris No Longer in St. Pete, War Outside Sales, War Lauren. Which one? Lauren in Naples or Lauren who got schmammered? Yeah, again, that's more. Look, Kentucky has a missed opportunity. That was a badly missed opportunity. But take nothing away from K-State. In fact, give it all to K-State. That was more about what K-State did to them rather than what Kentucky didn't do. I mean, I see John Calipari working. I know exactly what he was doing when he said, don't drink that poison. Don't drink that poison. Just because the top four seeds in that region got blown out does not mean we've got that easy path. He knew. He knew for two reasons. One, he didn't want his guys seeing that and thinking that. And even more importantly, he didn't want the other teams that were still there seeing that and reading that and getting fuel from that, because they did. K-State admitted as much. But again, it wasn't a case of them drinking the poison. They showed up. They played hard. They got beaten by a better team. Again, that was more about K-State than it was Kentucky. That said, Kentucky had an amazing opportunity, and it got away. Dear Van Smack, did you tweet that Michigan is now a basketball school? Michigan has always been a basketball school. Maybe you should brush up on Michigan basketball and watch some of the 89 tournament. Yours, Tony Gwynn, running point for the Wolverines back in the day, Brendan in the Natty.
Hey, I love your show. This is the first time I'm calling. I have to kind of call you out on something, though. That package with Tony Gwynn, the reason why it doesn't look like Tony Gwynn is because it's not. I believe it's Glenn Rice playing for Michigan in 89.
No, bro. With all due respect, that's Tony Gwynn. We all know it's Tony Gwynn. Look at him.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe you should brush up a little bit on Michigan basketball and check out the 89 tournament a little bit.
Yeah, I'll do that, bro. I'll do that. That's old school. 2004, when they were running a package on Michigan, I said, damn, Tony Gwynn, rest his soul. Love Tony Gwynn. Love Tony Gwynn. But I made the joke back in the day that, I mean, look at these two guys, Glenn Rice and Tony Gwynn, right? There is a resemblance. I said, man, it's amazing. I thought Tony Gwynn went to San Diego State. When was he so tall and how did he lean out? And look at him just filling it up, man. Filling it up for Michigan. So I go on this whole bit, this whole rant, and that guy called me up to correct me. Like, yeah, the reason that that doesn't look exactly like Tony Gwynn is because that's not Tony Gwynn. Oh, no, bro, that's Tony Gwynn. Yeah, maybe you ought to bone up on your Michigan basketball. Derek in Cleveland. Somebody else who did not get the joke. I'm not saying all my jokes are funny, although they are. I'm saying, how do you not get that joke? How do you not get that joke? How do you follow this show if you don't get that joke? How do you get through life if you don't get that joke? Come on, Derek. Derek should be part of our Where Are They Now feature. We should have a Where Are They Now feature for all the clones who call up and do things like that. And this guy wore me being your clone, guy. That's how I feel.
I'm your clone.
I think they're warning that, Lauren. Lauren in Naples. Lauren, they're warning you. You may love me, but they love you.
Come on.
Checking Twitter very quickly. Pimp, I am denimed up. I backed it in. I'm ready as hell for some more tourney games. Give me a deck of yeah. War paydays. That's a good day now, right? Give him his deck of yeah. He denimed up. He backed it in. He's got a payday. We've got the tournament. It's a good weekend. And Rich in the 970 tweets, today is National Puppy Day, or as I call it, Friday. Regards, Rosalio Pacquiao.
Let it go, let it go.
Yeah, it's a sad story. Didn't his dad eat his dog? Allegedly? I hope not. Anyway, Matt Norlander coming up next. Travis Kelce coming up next hour. Justin Pugh coming up next hour. It's going to be a good show. It's already a good show. It's going to get better. Look, I know there's plenty of you. Irv.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
We're talking NFL next hour. Travis Kelce, top of the hour. Justin Pugh, Arizona Cardinals lineman, right after that. So we go back to back. But right now we're talking about the NCAA tournament. We are joined by a senior writer for CBS Sports. You have also heard him on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. Matt Norlander is my guest. Matt, great to have you back. Matt, good morning. How are you?
Wonderful Friday, Jim. Thanks for having me. How are you doing?
Great, bud. Great. Great to talk to you. I know you're in Stories, Connecticut right now, which I'll get to in just one moment. But let me ask you this. You're a young guy, but you've been covering college basketball for quite some time. What do you make of Porter Moser and the Loyola Ramblers?
I make of it that it's the best NCAA tournament story that we've had since George Mason in 2006. And I know that we've had Butler and VCU and Wichita State get there, and it's been awesome. But Loyola has got something terrific about it. And it's not just the Sister Jean stuff, and she's gone international. She's gone galactic, to be frank. She's awesome. But this team is so good. They move the ball so well. I was talking with some Missouri Valley coaches, and they said, listen, they don't waste possessions. Every single time they've got five guys on the floor, which is all the time, they're always moving the ball. They can all pass the ball so well. So when you watch them, and when you saw them play against Nevada last night, after a little bit of a shaky start, they were so strong, and it was beautiful basketball. It was almost San Antonio Spurs-like, so they are a tremendous story, but also a tremendous team. This team is legit. And fortunately, they won the Missouri Valley Conference Tournament title to get in with an automatic bid, because if they did not do that, I kind of cringe to think that maybe they would have been left out of the tournament, and we would have been robbed of one of the great stories of this great event of the past 3 to 4 decades.
No, it's such a great point. It literally is one of the best stories I've ever seen. I mean, if you talk about a small Jesuit school like that And when you think about what they have or what they don't have in their resources and their facilities, the fact that they're in the Elite Eight to me is a miracle in and of itself. But they're a win away from the Final Four. They're not just in the Elite Eight. In fact, Matt, let me ask you this. If you took the 11 away from Loyola's name, in fact, if you took Loyola's name away from Loyola's name and you only look at the numbers, how good is this team?
Yeah, they are one of the 25 best teams in the sport. There's no doubt about it. I thought they were actually underseeded when they got in the tournament. I thought they deserved to be in that 8-9 game based on what they had done and the fact that they had won at Florida. And, yeah, because they've got the 11 next to their name, because they've got Loyola, because they haven't been in the tournament since 1985, they've got a heavy Cinderella feel to them. But I've said earlier this week, this team is really, really good. They are a Cinderella in terms of a storyline, but not in terms of their capability. They can get to the Final Four. I think they will. I thought they were going to do that when I thought they were going to play Kentucky in the Elite Eight. And Clayton Custer is just tremendous. He's the Missouri Valley Player of the Year. And what makes them so dangerous is that although Custer is their best player, there's really, you'll sometimes hear coaches say this, but with Loyola, it's really true. Their second option is basically five other guys, and they're all equally capable of beating you. Jim, did you see how they were living around the rim last night and just killing Nevada?
Oh, yeah.
Reverse layups and back cuts. It was insane. It was beautiful basketball. And if they make the Final Four, obviously that's going to stand as one of the biggest stories in sports this year. And it will make 2018, this NCAA tournament, one of the most memorable ever, no matter what happens after that, because we'll have Loyola in the Final Four and obviously out of the same region, UMBC being the first 16 to be to one.
Matt Norlander joining us. It was beautiful basketball. I could not believe the way they attacked the basket over and over and over again and the way they moved the ball. But, Matt, I never thought that I'd say this. I said that when Nevada made their run, because you knew they would, they always do. However, and I didn't think I'd ever say it, Loyola is not Texas. Loyola is not Cincinnati. Loyola is something totally different altogether. Now, let me ask you about Kansas State. They were not expected to make much noise at all in the tournament. In fact, Matt, most of the noise around K-State basketball has been from K-State fans who wanted to get rid of Bruce Weber. What do you make of the job that he's done in the tournament, essentially without their best player?
It's been an amazing thing for Kansas State, which was projected to be eighth in the Big 12. And the Big 12 is the best league in college basketball. But you said it, Jim. K-State fans have wanted Bruce Weber out for years. This is not a secret. They have been lobbying for this, despite the fact that he is now in his fourth NCAA tournament in six seasons there. And here's an Elite Eight run out of the blue, out of nowhere. And they got a little bit of a favor in having to face UMBC in the second round, but whatever. The bracket breaks the way it breaks, and you take advantage of the opportunities in front of you. And Kansas State last night proved what it has basically established over the past 2 months. It really is one of the 15 to 20 best defensive teams in the country. And the fact that it faced a Kentucky team that wasn't good from three-point range, that was filled with freshmen, and that was playing well but has been up and down all season, they took advantage. And, man, did they make some really, really opportunistic baskets. And it is, this tournament is just amazing, Jim, because we've never had a 9 versus an 11 in an Elite Eight game. It's the first time it's ever happened. Those combined seeds, obviously, are 20. That shatters the modern era record, which was 15, and we saw that in 2000 and 2002. And I understand why people want to see the big-time programs, the blue bloods, the mainstream appeal in this Elite Eight and Final Four. But for me, we're going to get that tonight. We got that on the right side of the bracket, you know, Villanova and Duke and Kansas. I love when we get the unprecedented. That's why the NCAA tournament every single year is such a rewarding viewing experience, because it will always give you something we've never seen before. And what we're going to get there is either Kansas State or Loyola getting to the Final Four for the first time since the early 1960s.
See, that's my thing too, Matt. I mean, we're going to get the Blue Bloods. We'll get the Blue Chips. I can't stop thinking about Loyola, though. I just, for the life of me, I can't imagine a program that size with what they have, as I mentioned, haven't been there in three decades, and they get there and they get to the Elite Eight, and now they're 40 minutes away from the Final Four. We can have all those things. The tournament is amazing. Now, as I mentioned, Matt, you're in Storrs, Connecticut. You're there for Dan Hurley's introductory presser. You spent a lot of time around him lately. You had a great piece on him earlier this season, so you've got a sense of who he is, what he's about, how he approaches things. He had a very good thing going at Rhode Island, so why do you think he made this move?
Yeah, he had a great thing going at Rhode Island, and if he wanted, with what they offered, he had the potential to really rule the Atlantic 10 the next 5 to 7 years. But he takes this job here at UConn because you have to. This kind of job comes up maybe once in your life, and he had the unusual position of picking between Pitt and the ACC, more money, less pressure, or going to a historic program like UConn, which has four national titles. since 1999. So ultimately, he doesn't have to leave too far from where he was. Obviously, he's a Northeast guy, and the program still has a big pull. I understand that the fan base for UConn, they don't like the fact that they're in the American Athletic Conference. They're not in the Big East. They're not in the AC. But overall, they've got so much potential still, okay? And there's so much hunger for UConn to return to its prominence as a top 10, top 15 program. Hurley is built for that. He is a fiery competitor. He is not the next Jim Calhoun, okay? But he has a lot of those traits that made Calhoun such a terrific leader for this program. And basically, he built UConn up from almost nothing. So the keys here going forward are, you know, he's not Jim Calhoun. And no, UConn is not in the Big East, but can it get back to where it's competing for Sweet 16s on an annual basis? I think that's a reasonable expectation. Give them a little bit of time for both school and man. I think this really is a near-perfect marriage, and UConn has found its coach for the future.
I love that hire. I love that hire. I think they could not have done any better, and I think that he's doing the right thing. You're right. When they make that call, you've got to take that opportunity. I think that's a great, great hire. Now, after the presser, you're driving to Boston for two Sweet 16 games tonight, starting with West Virginia and Villanova. Jay Wright's crew, Matt, arguably the most impressive in the first weekend, but can West Virginia cause some problems for them?
Oh, they can, and I think that they will, because here's the thing. Javon Carter is such a talent as a senior. And when you look at him versus Jalen Brunson, Jalen Brunson is the leader for player of the year in college basketball this season. But when you stack those two players up next to each other, Jim, you say, who's the better basketball player right now in college? It's Jalen Brunson, but it's not by much, because Carter's the better defender. He's a tremendous point guard overall. And so will their matchup dictate who wins tonight? And if it doesn't, will it be Sagaba Kanate on Mikal Bridges down low? I think this has a great, great potential to be an old-school kind of Big East game in an old Big East town there in Boston. I think Villanova is going to win, but West Virginia can certainly muck this game up, and it's got potential to be the best game we see tonight.
All right, then finally in the nightcap, you've got Chris Beard and Texas Tech going up against Purdue. You have been high on the Boilermakers ever since the bracket was released. What is the key then for the Red Raiders in that game?
You know what? It might be Keenan Evans' toe. You know, we've got
right.
Body parts can sometimes loom so large in the NCAA tournament. And I know you've had Chris Beard on your show plenty. He's got a lot of talent on this team. He's a tremendous coach. I understand this game doesn't have a lot of just headline appeal because Texas Tech isn't a perennial Final Four contender. Purdue is not obviously battling for Final Fours every single year. But I tell you what, Purdue is shoot it from three. In fact, Boston could be witness to a lot of big-time shot-making tonight. Because Villanova is the best offense in the country. Purdue's the best three-point offense in the country. And overall, I think Purdue's going to win this game. And if Texas Tech can steal it from them, Keenan Evans is going to have to play like the superstar he has been so frequently this season. And given the way that Texas Tech played against Florida last weekend, that was the best game no one's talking about. If they play that way again, they're going to be able to steal it. And then one obvious thing we got to touch on here is that Isaac Haas, his brace has been cleared, and you had Purdue engineers like working with materials and fabric that might not even be known to them in our known universe, but they got it done. And the question is, will he play? Matt Painter doesn't think that's going to happen. So if Haas is on the floor, how productive will he be? And if he's not productive, they're not going to chance that. So without him, Purdue goes with a smaller look. And to me, that makes for a more entertaining game.
No doubt. An obvious key. And when you say that Tech can steal it, there's no doubt in my mind they can steal that game. They can win that game. And if they win that game, I got to think that Chris Beard is going to make another jungle run. Matt Norlander having a very busy day. He is a senior writer for CBS Sports. Remember, you can hear him on the CBS Eye on College Basketball podcast. Great job, Matt. Good to have you back. Have a great day.
You too, Jim. Thanks.
Matt Norlander breaking it all down. All right, phone lines are open right now, 1-800-636-8686. What do you think about what you saw last night? What do you think about what you're going to see tonight? Sweet 16, Elite 8, I love it. We get everything we want. You do have the blue chips. You've got the major programs, and you've got a great, great story in Loyola Chicago. Top of the hour, we talk some NFL, so take advantage of the next open phone segment. First up, though, here is a sports update for you.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
ATP, ATP, ask the pros. Ask the pros. brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. You want to go to cbssportsradio.com/askthepros, submit a question. I will answer one or more of them later on. And in the meantime, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. My man Matt Norlander was shot out of a cannon. Nobody loves it more than Matt. So that's a good way to start our show on a Friday. We're talking football, top of the hour. Travis Kelce is going to stop by. Chiefs football, top of hour number two. At Radom 27 tweets, Dear Sister Jean, you're motoring. What's your price for flight? Signed, Night Ranger. Oh, hell no, Radom. You did not. She's international. I know because she said so. She's awesome. She's 98 and has a better rap than almost anybody I've ever spoken to. They are maybe the best story ever. I mean, I've said it three times in the first half hour. I cannot believe that that coach, that team, that program, and that school is doing what they're doing in this tournament. They've beaten three higher seeds at the buzzer, back to back to back. If the story ended with them making an Elite Eight run, it's one of the best stories ever. If they go to the Final Four, I think it is the best story ever. How that guy did that, I mean, I'd even go as far as to say, if you were to say to me, you can have any coach you want, any coach you want right now from any program, any coach you want in this business, and you take that coach and you put that coach at Loyola of Chicago, I would say it doesn't matter who you put there. None of these guys could ever take that program and build the program that he's built and get them to the Elite Eight. I mean, John Calipari, Jay Wright, literally any coach, Coach K. If you had said to me, that program, your choice of coach, and can they get to the Elite Eight, I'd say no chance. No way. But Porter Moser did. It might be a Final Four team. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they made it to the Final Four. It's one of the most amazing things I have ever seen. Like, they share the facility with the volleyball team. Yet he has built a bully, and they do it the right way. And they may not be done yet. I want to talk some Michigan basketball, too. I thumbed it out last night on Twitter. You probably saw it. I did thumb it out on Twitter last night, but I think it bears repeating on 200 radio stations and on the CBS Sports Network and on SiriusXM. Michigan is a basketball school. They're a basketball school. That's right, I said it. And let me also say this. John Beilein is the best coach on that campus. Yeah, I know. Hey, Rome, tell us something that we didn't already know. Right. One guy is making $9 million a year to finish in fourth place in the Big Ten East. Beilein is doing what he always does, rolling out, winning games, making tournament runs, 316 runs in 6 years. And not only did they beat a really good Texas A&M team that destroyed North Carolina, they beat them down. A hospital job. And Michigan's got the look of a team that can win this entire thing. All A&M head coach Billy Kennedy could do in the postgame was tip his cap to the victors. Quote, it felt like we ran into a buzzsaw, end quote. And he was right. Because Michigan picked the perfect evening to get right on offense. We know how tough they are defensively, but they finally got right offensively. Mo Wagner filling it up with 21 on only 12 shots. 14 of those in the first half. Muhammad Ali Abdur-Rahman, 24-5-7. Getting 16 of his in the first 20 minutes. Charles Matthews, 18. Duncan Robinson, 10 off the bench. And while every other game last night featured some kind of version of grind it out, get it to the second half, the Wolverines had their shovel out from the jump, and they made sure that second half didn't even matter. That was supposed to be the closest game of the night. A&M had the size. They had the length. They were expected to be a force in the paint. Hell, they weren't even afraid to tell you about it before the game. On Wednesday, Aggie forward Robert Williams said the plan was, quote, to abuse people like we always do. Me and Tyler Davis, we're machines. We try to keep up that mindset. No one can stop us, end quote. Freshman point guard TJ Stark said, quote, I think I'm unguardable. I think I'm unstoppable, end quote. Well, come to find out, Michigan kept the 2 6-foot-10 monsters in check, and they locked Starks up. He went just 2 for 11 from the field, and they dropped daggers from the outside of the arc themselves. They had 8 different guys knocked down to 3. 8. That's an NCAA record. 3 for Wagner, 4 for Abdul-Rahman, 2 for Robinson. By the time it was over, even C.J. Baird got one. And he started the season as the team's student manager. You D up like that, and you have 8 guys knocking in 3 balls? Look, I know that in the tournament, especially in this tournament, every night is a grind. Nobody knows that better than Michigan. Hell, they would have been home watching Rob Gray in Houston if it weren't for Jordan Poole's buzzer beater. But that last night, that right there was the performance of the tournament. And this Michigan team is the scariest team left standing on that side of the bracket, arguably. They have the look, to me, of a team that can run the table. And while their coach is not out front running around with his shirt off or wearing throwback jerseys or spewing lava on Twitter, he is handling his business like an absolute G. And now the Wolverines are a game away from cutting down the nets and heading to the Final Four. Just another enormous win for a basketball powerhouse and a basketball school. Sean Beilein, for all the credit he gets, and he's starting to get more and more, it's still not nearly enough. That is a basketball power at a basketball school. 1-800-636-8686. I'm looking at my call screen, and there's Fabian. Always a good thing, because you never know what you're going to get from Fabian. I never know what Fabian's going to say. I can't wait to find out. Let's go there right now. Here in Los Angeles, Fabian. Fabian, brother, good morning. What's up? How are you?
Good morning, Rome. Good morning, clones. Rome, this is the thing. I called you 2 weeks ago, right? And, you know, to make my presence felt, you know, look it. I told Winskis and I told Glowing Gabe I would do this, right? Call the jungle, get my little rub, some of that karma on me, bro. Swear to God, man, no lie here, okay? No lie. Dude, the following week, I start getting calls. I didn't apply anywhere. I haven't left home, dude. You know, I have not left home. Call me, boom, nah, I'm cool. They jack up the pay, nah, I'm cool. You know, dude, I ended up telling what hours I wanted to work and what I wanted to get paid. And they're like, okay, you know, right now I just wanted to complete the process because I talked to the guy like about an hour ago. And he's like, you know what? There's one person ahead of you. If this cat doesn't show up by 1 o'clock, it's your job. I'm like, all right. You know, that's pretty much what I wanted to tell you right there. Dude.
All right.
I
so, Fabian, so let me understand this. So you called the show. You got karma. You were not working. And then you didn't even try to get a job. And then people started to call you. And then you said no. And they kept offering you more and more money. Is that what you're saying to me?
That is exactly what I'm saying, dude. And I didn't go and apply. Calls started coming in on their own. See, that's the problem because now clones.
Did you get the job? Did you get the job?
Like that, you know?
Did you get the job?
Right now, I'm waiting for the karma. I said at 1 o'clock, bro.
Okay.
At 1 o'clock, they're gonna let me know.
Fabian, what is the job
today?
What is the job?
Oh, I can't tell you, bro.
Why?
Because I'm gonna get clowned. You know. It's
Bro, there's dignity in work. There's no building in all work. You won't get clowned. You will not get clowned. There's no building in work, man. You got to work. You got to do what you got to do to put food on the table and pay your bills. Nobody's going to clown you. At least I'm not. Give it to me, man. What are you looking at? What are you trying to get?
But still, you know, let's call it like material handling, and that'll work, you know.
That does work. Material handling. All right, man, listen. Fabian, I hope you get the karma. I hope you get that call at 1 o'clock. And whatever you do, man, hold out for more. Keep telling
them
no.
Thank you, Roman. You know what? The podcast is the best, right? The best one was Jason Williams, though. It's kind of like I'm trying to put like the top three, and it's kind of difficult. But I think Jason Williams is number one. All righty, I'm out, bro. Before I get a run. Oh, one more thing. Whatever happened to No Tolerance Friday, bro? Okay, late.
Right. Hey, Fabian. If there was a No Tolerance Friday, you would have never gotten on. Neep. You know.
Neep.
All right, so Fabian, he was talking about Jay Williams. Jay Williams, who is an ESPN broadcaster, played his college ball at Duke, had that terrible motorcycle accident. That was an amazing podcast that he did for us. I've got nothing but huge respect for Jay Williams. So what he said was he was not working, he was not looking, and then people started to call him and started to offer him jobs. And I said, what kind of a job are we talking about? Oh, no, I can't tell you that. I don't want to get clowned. And like I said, there is nobility in work. All work. There is dignity in work. Man, you know what you get clowned for? Thinking you're above a certain job and not trying to put yourself out there to get a job. And I'm not doing that. I'll tell you what gets you clowned. Being that guy that won't take a job to fend for his family because I'm better than that. I'm smarter than that. So I'm just going to stay home and do nothing because I'm better than that job. Oh, hell no. Fabian, you're the man. I hope you get that call at 1 o'clock. I hope you get that gig. He said material handling.
Material handling, and that'll work, you know.
Well, handlering. Handlering.
Material handling, and that'll work, you know.
Material, that will work, Fabian. That's good, man. Good luck. Material handlering. Whatever that is, who cares? It's good. A job is good. Work is good. Getting paid is good. Putting in the time is good. James in Sacramento at The Real Left Hook tweets, Loyola has a 98-year-old cheerleader. That's cute. Signed, Larry King, lifelong Dodger fan. Had this amazing night. Larry King and I had a thing once back in the day where we kind of, I got on the wrong side of him, or he got on the wrong side of me, or we got on the wrong side of each other. I don't remember exactly how it went down, but I remember we were in the same restaurant at the same time in Los Angeles, Beverly Hills, one night. And we were just kind of staring at each other. I mean, it was very mature. Very mature, like a 104-year-old guy staring at me in my 40s. And we were just kind of looking at each other, and it was pretty lame. And then he's got the best table in this restaurant. He's got the best table in my favorite restaurant, Mr. Chow's. So I had to respect that. And that's where he'd hold court because he was the man, Larry King, right? So he leaves, and some guys who are at the table with him come over to me. And these guys are funny guys. They're a little bit older and had a lot of it and a lot of personality. And this guy says to me, yo, Rome, you're a funny kid, man. You're a funny kid. He goes, now the old man over there, he hates your guts. He goes, but we like you. We think you're pretty funny. I said, hey, I appreciate you too, man. Yeah, me and the old man don't do so well at this point. But I noticed that as I get older, and he's definitely getting older, but as I get older, a lot of these things kind of come full circle. Like, I wonder what would happen if we were in the same restaurant right now. Would we still stare at each other like that, or would it be all right? But I always got a huge kick out of that. That guy came up to me and said, hey, Rome, you're a pretty funny kid. We like you. The old man, on the other hand, man, he hates your guts. He does not like you at all, Rome. I said, oh, I know. I know. There's a lot of that in this town. At Blazing KC tweets, I love Sister Jean, too. My Sister Jean. She's powerful, sexy. Yours, Kentucky. Hey, Blaze, well, when I say to you, give me an A or give me an F, what I don't generally say is, give me the stupidest tweet ever. Give me the lamest tweet ever.
Well,
hey, Blaze, I know what you're about. Like, even you don't think that's funny. You are the ultimate troll. Let me think. What could I do? Nope, that's not it. Nope, that's not enough. Nope, even that doesn't do it. I got it. I love Sister Jean, too. My Sister Jean. She's powerful, sexy. Yours, Kentucky. Send.
Blase.
Powerful, sexy. That's it. That's the phrase I was waiting on. That's the phrase I wanted to turn. That's it. Powerful, sexy. Powerful, lame. Snaggy P. Fabian can be hard to understand at times. Allow me to translate. Material handling is Fabian for garbage man. Signed, Kenna Mission Viejo. War Fabes getting a job and then losing that job from calling on the job. Hey, listen, I don't know what material handling is. And if it is garbage man, good, great. Who cares? Garbage. Let's see what's garbage, man. Killing a guy for getting a job. Yeah, man, that's a bad look. Working. That's a really bad look. Having a job and getting paid.
Before I get a run.
Travis Kelce joins me when we come back. You're in the jungle. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere.